Blog Talk Radio. Everyone, and welcome to Wild Horse and Burro Radio, an educational outreach program of Wild Horse Freedom Federation. You're welcome to call in with any questions you might have during the second half hour of the show. Our guests tonight are Susan Wagner, president and founder of Equine Advocates, and Carol Walker, director of field documentation for Wild Horse Freedom Federation. The Bureau of Land Management recently presented Congress with a new plan for managing America's wild horses and burros. And this plan is titled Management Options for a Sustainable Wild Horse and Burro Program. There's nothing sustainable for America's wild horses and burros in the BLM's new plan. And we're going to be talking about this in detail tonight. Welcome to the show, Susan and Carol.
Thanks for having me.
To start off, Carol, can you tell us about the BLM's new plan?
Yes. So there are four different recommendations in categories, and none of the recommendations are good. Some of the suggestions include killing 10,000 wild horses and burros that are in holding, massive roundups of 50,000 wild horses and burros that are currently on our public lands, then sterilizing the 80% of the wild horses and burros that remain, and removing limitations on the sale of these wild horses and burros, which that exposes them to the risk of being sent to slaughter. And so this is not a plan for sustainability of wild horses and burros. It is a plan for extinction of wild horses and burros. And yes.
And if they implement any of these, it's precarious enough as it is, and if they implement any of these recommendations, I think we'd be lucky to have a generation or two left of wild horses and burros with all the removals and if they're sterilizing them because they've already done sex ratio skewing and other things. We don't, you know, it's hard to even know everything that they've done. So
this flies right in the face of what Congress just passed to protect them. And then they ask the BLM for their recommendations and they come back with the Stewart Amendment on steroids. This is worse than what they proposed before.
And this has been in the works for a long time, though. The BLM really sees their optimal solution really is to eliminate the wild horses and burros. The BLM has always felt this way.
They've always felt this way.
And they want Congress to give them a pass on killing them and sterilizing them. And that's what they're asking for. And they're saying there's no other way out, and the horses and burros are starving and dying of thirst, and there's too many of them, and they're destroying all the lands, and it's all a bunch of baloney.
It's based on false claims. Yeah, this report is based on false claims.
Yes, and completely doesn't take into account that the horses and burros are outnumbered 37-1 by livestock on the lands that they are on. And it doesn't consider also that wild horses are only on half of the lands that they were on in 1971 when the Wild Horse and Burro Act was first passed. So the horses are getting squeezed over and over again. They are losing their herd areas. Every year there are more herds that are losing their lands and being zeroed out. And this would really afford the BLM a way forward. They would say, well, Congress voted for it. It's not our problem.
Well, you know, Carol, you
yeah.
just mentioned this is a long time in coming, and it's true. I mean, everyone will tell you, as you probably know, that the Interior Department has always been regarded as the most corrupt agency in the U.S. government, and we've all known that for decades now, the Interior Secretaries have had this, they've always wanted to do it but never could. But now we have an administration that is making it happen, and it's starting with the tax cut legislation that they passed so they can say they have no money for anything. And they're actually now implementing this, whereas previous administrations, although they've wanted to do it, haven't really been able to take the plunge. But it seems like these animals are in jeopardy more than they have ever been before.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And
well,
go ahead, Deb.
No, go ahead, Carol.
Something that we need to keep in mind is that, you know, the BLM is scapegoating the wild horses and burros, and they have other plans for our public lands. You know, they'd like to do more oil and gas development. They'd like to turn over more of the land to livestock. And, you know, this is not mixed use, which is what our public land should be, which means mixed use means that there are shared uses of our public lands, not that they get taken over by one or two interests. The other thing
mm-hmm.
that wild horses are currently being scapegoated for, which I find just ridiculous, is sage grouse, eliminating the sage grouse. And there is no way that you can say that the wild horses are in competition with the sage grouse and that are forcing the sage grouse out. I go out there and I see they clear miles and miles of sagebrush to put in oil and gas pipelines. And this is where the sagebrush is disappearing. It just gets bulldozed. And for miles, these huge swaths of land are just the old growth sage just completely eliminated. And this is where the sage grouse are. And to say that the wild horses are responsible for sage grouse, you know, losing their territory is just ridiculous. And it's a typical BLM ploy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, part of it, as far as the BLM claiming there's an overpopulation of wild horses and burros, BLM's own statistics that we got off the data page, we analyzed, you know, all of the herds over many years. And, you know, some of the increases that they said happened in 1 year were as much as 750%. Or 1,250% in one herd in 1 year, and that's just—it's impossible. You know, it's
right.
It's biologically impossible. Stallions don't have babies, and it's scientifically indefensible. And they keep—you know—so basically, when they tell the Congress there's an overpopulation, you know, if they're using their own statistics, Congress better look at their statistics.
Right, and
well,
then
we'd
of course,
be happy to provide that for them.
Right, and also the other issue is that 70% of the herds do not have a level of a population that's viable.
Mm-hmm.
Our leading geneticist on wild horses, Gus Cawthron, has said that you need a breeding population of at least 150 breeding age adults in a herd to have it be maintain genetic viability. And when you have these herds that are supposed to be 40, 50, 90 horses, this is a recipe for extinction right there. And when you only
yeah.
have 27 of the remaining herds have more than 150 horses, that's crazy. I mean, that's
they're
just
on the brink of extinction. And,
they're not overpopulated.
Yeah, Dr. Cawthron also said that if any fertility control at all is used, the numbers even have to be higher than 150 to 200 members. So there, you know, and the BLM never does that. So I don't know why they don't take that into account.
Well, that's something that most
people don't talk about. Yeah.
Yeah, and they've been using birth control on some of the smaller herds, PZP, and this is a reversible drug. But now what they really want to do is sterilize the horses. So it's irreversible. They want to geld the stallions and they want to spay the mares. And the spaying of the mares would be the most horrific thing. It would be so many of these horses would die from infection, from shock, and the trauma to the horses would just be unbelievable. And you know, the only thought is, well, let's just make it so that they're sterile and completely and no concern for the welfare of the horses.
Mm-hmm.
And the burro.
If you, mm-hmm. you want to talk about a waste of taxpayer dollars, there's absolutely no reason at all ever to spay a mare unless the mare has cancer. And I can tell you, you know, we have a horse sanctuary with 83 horses. We had a miniature donkey go in for surgery. She had a cancer of the uterus, and they removed the uterus, and she's fine now. But this is a tiny little donkey. She was in the hospital for 12 days. I doubt that the BLM has sanitary conditions and will protect these animals from getting infections and everything else. It is the worst possible thing you could imagine, and it should be fought at every opportunity.
Yeah,
and
the conditions.
Some people.
The conditions in these holding facilities where they were proposing to do the surgery in Oregon a couple of years ago were incredibly unsanitary. And, you know, normally these types of surgeries are done in a sterile environment. And to do this to these horses and then just throw them out on the range with no follow-up, no care for whether they die or have infections or suffer terribly, is just the most monstrous treatment of animals that I can imagine.
Yeah, and, you know, the ovarectomy via colpotomy that is used to sterilize mares, you know, the vet sticks his arm in past his elbow, and then he feels around for the ovaries. Well, it's so easy. I mean, he's going in blind. They don't even do this. I think Susan said they don't even do this on domestic horses anymore.
No,
they're trying to do it on wild horses. And out in the and out on the public lands is what their goal is, to do it out in the wild even, not even in the corral. But even so, you know, they feel around to see if he can feel the ovaries, and it's real easy for them to mistake that for something else and, you know, cut their intestines or, you know, it's been horrible. So
it's a ghoulish, horrible, cruel thing to do, and nobody would ever do it unless an animal's health was at stake, and that I'm talking about cancer. You wouldn't ever spay a mare. It's just the most senseless thing, and the idea that they would spend money on this is even more outrageous.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're doing a lot of other experimentation too. With, they're doing a lot of other experimentation on horses too. The reason they're rounding up a lot of horses too is because, besides the overpopulation, they claim there's drought. But yet, what I noticed is, even when there's drought, they keep letting new oil wells be drilled, and that uses a lot of water. But yet they can find no significant impact to that. They let mines expand. That uses a lot of water. And they usually issue a FONSI, finding of no significant impact. But yet, you know, a few horses, and, you know, even during a drought, I don't really think very many cattle livestock grazing permits are, you know, that they suspend many of them or completely redact them. But they completely move wild horses and burros from public lands. So there's a lot
right.
of unfairness. Going on.
Well, and also the other issue is, too, you know, think about how costly it is to round up and remove wild horses. And in some of the smaller herds, they have hauled water. It's much cheaper mm-hmm. to haul water for a couple of months to a herd when they're experiencing a drought than to just remove all the horses and then have to house them for the rest of their lives. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And when you have, you know, 70% of the budget going toward rounding up and housing horses, there's no concern for improving the range, for managing them on the range, for doing studies. I mean, this is where the money should be going, not rounding them up and paying the contractor. That's just craziness.
Well, they're spending mm-hmm. money like drunken sailors. I mean, and they're not putting the money, as you say, to good use. So
right.
they're spending the money, but they really have, you know, a very deliberate agenda, which is to get rid of the horses. And that becomes clearer and clearer every day, particularly with this ridiculous idea of paying people to take them. Deb, I know you were going to bring that up.
Yeah, Deb,
yeah,
you want to talk about the partnerships and the payments?
You know, yeah, I've been a little worried about the partnerships BLM has because, like, who are these people and what are they doing? And we've recently come across Freedom of Information Act documents about shipping wild horses and burros overseas. And the BLM sent some horses to Germany for Mustang Heritage Foundation for an adoption event in Germany. And, you know, that's kind of like the lipstick on the pig because these horses are – that just sets a precedent for shipping horses other places overseas. And, you know, they had – like even in 2011 there was a policy. BLM had a policy not to sell – or adopt horses overseas, really. And now they are. So they've changed their policy without really any letting the public know until this it's kind of in this plan. But the other thing is, instead, since they came up with, after Tom Davis, the who bought over 1,700 wild horses, you know, they said, oh, we can't sell them. From, you know, you have to get special permission if you want to sell more than four horses. Well, what they're doing now, they're quote-unquote adopting massive amounts of horses overseas, and this is actively being considered right now. So, and that makes it very easy for them to get over there because even if the U.S. government had them sign, their partners sign an agreement here, it really has no jurisdiction in many other countries. So,
right. They have,
and they know
they have no protection for being sold to slaughter, for mistreatment, anything. There's no protection once they leave the U.S. The wild horses and burros, they have no protection whatsoever. And this
and
is what
the
BLM the
burros,
is counting on. If they could sell them overseas and get them out of sight, out of mind, then that would be the best way to get rid of them.
And, you know, a long time ago when they wanted to send wild burros to Guatemala or to some other country, then there was a lot of public outcry because these countries, it would be in very remote areas. The people are very poor. There's no really good veterinary access for these animals, and they'd be used as beasts of burden in really rough areas. And, you know, we saw pictures of what happened to a lot of these animals in other countries, so there was a lot of public outcry. So they actually didn't go through with this plan. But we've come across FOIA documents that a group called Remote Area Medical, and Stan Brock has, I think, been in contact with the BLM. Now they want to send our wild, I don't know if it's just burros or whatever, to Guyana. And this is a big deal because, you know, the world's donkeys are being decimated for Ijiao, that Chinese traditional medicine. So, and you know, why are we shipping our burros to another country when they may have burros there? And are they being flown on plane? Will they go on ships? You know, there's a lot to consider. And
none of this, none of these plans about shipping overseas are being made public so that the public knows about it or has any opportunity to comment on these plans also.
Yeah,
that's what's really alarming.
They don't even bring it up in the National Wild Horse and Burro Advisory Board meeting. I'll have to ask Ginger if she's heard of some of the stuff that we've been seeing on FOIA documents because I haven't heard about anything. And, you know, they're very sneaky, so the public doesn't find out about it until after the fact, and a lot of times we don't find out about it unless we file Freedom of Information Act requests and happen to see it.
Well, we have the landmark legislation, the Wild Free Roaming Horses and Burros Act of 1971. And if I may, there's just one sentence there among many great sentences that says, it is the policy of Congress that wild free roaming horses and burros shall be protected from capture, branding, harassment, or death, and to accomplish this, they are to be considered in the area where presently found as an integral part of the natural system of the public lands. So how did we go from there to this, all this sneaking around and shipping horses overseas and all of that?
Right. And considering them to be a nuisance in the way and not a part of our public lands.
And not protecting them, but eradicate. Now they want to eradicate them completely. They want non-reproducing herds or even minimally reproducing herds. You know, they'll be gone in a generation or so. So,
yes. So
they are really, we are really in a crisis and on the brink of extinction now, and we are sounding out a lot of alarms about you know, what's happening with this new BLM plan. Jane Velez Mitchell was kind enough to ask me to address this on her Facebook page, and I did. You know, so we're trying to get the word out there.
And we want to make sure that we do repeat this a couple of times during the show, that we want to give people something to do. And what we really want people to do is to contact their senators and their congressmen. And this is where it can be stopped. This is where we need to stop it, is Congress. Having meetings with your senators and congressmen, calling them on the phone, faxing them, emailing them, you know, all of that. And we need to need to do that and make a big deal out of this, because otherwise we may lose our wild horses and burros. So we've written up some recommendations for our management for wild horses and burros. And is it on the show link, Deb? Or is it just
it's
on
It's not on wild the show link. I think I've read it. It's on Wild Horse Freedom Federation.
It's on Wild
Horse
Freedom Federation. Our recommendations that we want to have happen. And that's what we need you to do. So people ask, what can I do? This is what you can do now. And we're not sure when Congress is going to have any sort of action or input on this plan. There hasn't been a date assigned, as far as I know. Have you heard anything, Deb? Have you heard anything?
No,
Susan?
But it could already be. It could be start. They could be starting to implement it already.
Right.
Except for the killing part, but they could be doing everything else.
Well, just the idea of paying people to take wild horses is the height of corruption. I mean, I don't know what $1,000 actually involves, if it means one horse or more than one horse, but can't you just picture some of these ranchers that have a lot of land taking 50 horses, taking the money, and then sending them to slaughter anyway? I mean,
right.
What kind of policy is that?
Right, and if they reduce the time that you need to wait before you get the papers to officially adopt the horse from a year to 6 months, it makes it even more feasible to send them to slaughter.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the bottom line is the BLM should not be rounding up horses. They should be managing them on the range in a humane manner, and you know, give them back the 29 million acres you took away. You can put those 46,000 horses that are holding and costing so much, put them back on 29 million acres and let them graze for free and live out their lives. They're already all the stallions have been gelded, so they're not reproducing. So,
right.
You know, they don't have to kill them or send them to horrible deaths overseas. One of the issues, too, about partnerships with state and local agencies, could you talk about that, Carol, a little bit? Why partnerships are bad with state and local agencies?
Oh, right. So they were saying that they want to be able to make the horses available for, you know, for working and things like that, and they need to be able to just take the protections away from the horses so they can transfer them to these state and local agencies. Well, once they do that, there's no protection for the horses, and it's just an easy way to be able to turn around and sell them to slaughter. You know, they'll quote and they'll say, oh, well, we're training these horses for Border Patrol. Okay, well, they've trained a handful of horses for Border Patrol. Canyon City, which is our local holding facility here in Colorado, has been working on that, and they can do about 35 horses a year. And sure, they've done that with a few horses, but these are wild horses. They haven't been touched, they haven't been worked with, and they're going to make them work animals? I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all. And Susan, how many horses that are fully trained are being given away right now, or having a hard time even being given away?
Why would
you want a wild horse?
Yeah, there's no reason. There are so many domestic horses that could be trained for those purposes. Look, we've got two wild Mustangs here, and we're happy to have them, but there's something very different about them. It's really just ridiculous to try to domesticate them. They should just be allowed to be wild. There's no reason to use them for these purposes. It's just another excuse, as you say, to somehow get rid of them, destroy the herds, and make them all go away, because basically this government considers them an inconvenience. So rather than deal with them and allow them to live out their lives, they just want them all gone, and that's abundantly clear.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Marty, let me know that we have a caller on the line. It's almost halfway,
okay.
So I guess we'll go ahead and... Marty, do we have a caller?
Yes. Yes, area code 415, you're live and on the air.
Oh,
hello.
Hi there, Deb. And hi there, Deb and Charlotte and Susan. This is Jatara Sehart with Love Wild Horses.
Hi, Jatara.
Hi there. And so first of all, thank you so much for, you know, I just feel like I'm speaking with, you know, living and breathing angels here. You know, as you all know, the wild horses and burros, and we can't really say this enough, there is no reason to remove them from the public land or to even try to figure out what we should do with them, because they're already underpopulated on the public land. And so I'm so grateful that you're here and speaking. And I'm working right now. Love Wild Horses is working on a project to help develop a water site in Elko, Nevada. And prayer is up. We're getting there with our funding.
We're going to have Jatara and Genie Nations on a radio show next month. We've got them scheduled. So.
Oh, great.
But yeah, I'm glad you told everybody about it. And they can check out your website and learn more about that project, right, Jatara?
Oh, sure. So thank you so much, Deb. Lovewildhorses.org. But I want to just bring it back to what you all were talking about. And I just, you know, the thought of this recommendation by the Bureau of Land Management, if this were to be approved, is just, you know, it's like the most un-American thing imaginable, to kill and further harm these already decimated, magnificent icons of the West. And so I just wanted to say that, and that we're here and circling, and we need all hands on deck. And I may, you know, other people can do things like this. I may be attending a fair this weekend and getting a little table and handing out flyers to just speak to everybody. I'm working 50 hours a week to get this done, okay? Like, if you care about these animals, we must all rise up right now and
make these calls.
Yes, because it's not, this is really serious. This could just happen here, where suddenly our wild horses are gone and not able to sustain. If all of a sudden, and plus they reduce wildfires on the public land. I mean, there's just so many reasons why they should remain there for us as humans, not only the fact for their own right of just being able to just survive as a species. And that's it. Thank you.
Yeah,
okay,
thanks for calling in.
And we're looking forward to having you on the show next month. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I just want to get back to this report. And, you know, I said it's based on false claims by the BLM. So the BLM is giving Congress inaccurate information. So besides the population things, then there's also that the wild horses and burros have no natural predators. And this is after Wildlife Services has killed millions of animals. And I don't know how many, you know, bobcats or whatever. They're accusing wild horses and burros of damaging the range, the damaging environmental effects on the range. Well, you know, they really don't complain too much about the oil and gas or the mining or livestock. It all gets blamed on the wild horses and burros. And again, it's scapegoating them. So, you know,
all the studies that they have done on range degradation don't include livestock. Somehow livestock is exempt from being considered in a study.
And, you know, a lot of our listeners go read reports on public employees for environmental responsibility. The BLM doesn't even keep track of, you know, they weren't even keeping track when livestock is illegally grazing or anything like that. So PEER, Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, if you click over on their projects and you click on, you know, livestock grazing or public lands, you know, you can see all these really interesting reports, and they've actually filed complaints and lawsuits. So It's good to check out. And actually, Kirsten State of Pier was on our radio show this year already, I think. So time's all running together for me. But
listen, you've got Zinke, who has already surpassed James Watt and Ken Salazar as the worst Interior Secretary in American history. You've got Scott Pruitt, who is the worst head of the EPA. Obviously, they are carrying out the policies that this administration wants, but this is one of the major contributors to the decimation of these herds. And unless Congress does something to stop it, you know, all the horses will be gone because they are promoting it.
Yeah. Yeah, and my fear is that even if they aren't killing the horses, that all these other things, you know, shipping them overseas, these are plans that are already underway. I've seen stuff.
And they're not being
documents.
Disclosed. They're not being disclosed to the public.
To the public.
There's no opportunity
to
comment. Nothing. It's just being done, and we don't even know about it. It's
very
frightening.
No, we might not find out till a year later. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times it's I'll happen to see something on a Freedom of Information Act request. I'm like, what? I didn't know about that. And,
but doesn't Congress have to approve this?
Yes. Yes. That's why they went to Congress, and they want Congress to be the bad guy and say, go ahead and kill the horses. So, yes, Congress has to approve this. But, as Deb said, they're already shipping horses overseas.
Well, and the other thing, you know, we posted on Wild Horse Freedom Federation, one of our truth things was some FOIA documents we got with all the experiments they're doing on wild horses and burros, like IUDs, you know, and spending like $300,000 here, $400,000 there. I mean, it was like millions of dollars when you looked at all of them, and those things are already in effect, and they're going to be in effect for the next few years. So, you know, and a lot of times it's with universities. So, It's just bad. And, you know, what bothers me, too, about this plan were the supposed wild horse advocacy groups that supported this. You know, they said they talked to the public, and then they mentioned the Slaughter Summit, you know, and, oh, the Slaughter Summit, you know, like so many people wanted this many. I'm trying to read through
Deb,
thing
tell,
here.
Tell people who was at the Slaughter Summit.
You know, it was Wildlife Society, all the people that, all the groups that are trying to kill off the wild horses, and it was private. It wasn't open to the public. When Ginger Catherine's went, you know,
she tried to go.
BLM's, she's on the BLM's National Wild Horse and Burro Advisory Board. You know, she wasn't invited, and she was not let in. There were BLM employees there,
and people on
an
the advisory
meeting.
Board. Other people on the advisory board were there. Yeah.
And so basically I think it was illegal that it wasn't an open meeting. They shouldn't have been there if it wasn't an open meeting. And that's something that you know, really has to be addressed. So anyhow, in this BLM new plan, the public involvement, you know, then they're saying, oh, the National Wild Horse and Burro Advisory Board. But you know, they bring up going, you know, the here it is, the 2017 National Wild Horse and Burro Summit. We call it the Slaughter Summit. And it was at Utah State University, and so they're saying, and then they said they had consultation with outside groups. Well, not us. We did a whole white paper. We didn't hear from them. They didn't mention the white paper that uses their own records. You know, they said they consulted with the Humane Society, ASPCA, Return to Freedom, and then this American Mustang Foundation, which I think it's that group that was just formed about a year ago, and it consists of lobbyists. So, you know, those are the only four groups. They didn't talk to the Cloud Foundation. They didn't talk to us. There's a lot of major advocacy groups out there that they didn't even talk with.
Right. Right. So,
you know,
yeah.
about a week ago, we had some students here, and I asked them how old they were. They said they were 17. And I said to them, are you aware of the plight of the wild horses and burros? And they weren't really familiar. So I enlightened them a little bit, and I said, well, you know, you've seen our two Mustangs here, and they all said yes. I said, well, you're 17. By the time you're 25 and you want to go out and see wild horses and burros on the range, you're not going to be able to do that. And the only place you're going to be able to see them or hear about them is in a history book or on video or on film. because they're all going to be gone. So I suggest that you start writing letters to your senators and your member of Congress and tell your parents to do the same, because even though you're not paying taxes yet, your parents are, and we're all supporting what's going on the public lands. And every American has the right to weigh in on this.
Yes, absolutely.
And what really worries me about this report, it says each of these four options presented in the report would require new legal authorities. So what they want to do, they want to amend the Wild Horse and Burro Act. And I've seen FOIA documents. BLM's been wanting to do this for at least 5 years that I can tell, you know, with the non-reproducing or minimally reproducing herds. But, Carol, tell us a little bit more about sales without limitation and euthanasia. Because in here they make it, they don't go, oh, we're going to have to shoot the horses, do aerial shooting to shoot them out on public lands, or we're going to have to just, you know, we're shooting healthy horses inside a penned area. Can you talk to everyone a little more about the sales without limitation and euthanasia?
Well, so euthanasia, by definition, is putting a suffering animal out of its misery. These are not suffering animals. This is not doing them a favor. These are healthy animals. These are healthy wild horses and burros. So this is not euthanasia. It is simply killing. And if they were to kill these horses that are in holding, probably the way they would do it is they would just shoot them in a pen. Can you imagine the terror and fear of these horses who probably aren't even going to die on the first bullet, and panic? And then they're going to throw them into these pits and bury them. Or they'll ship them to slaughter, which is worse. So sales without limitation. So the Burns Amendment to the Wild Horse and Burro Act allowed the BLM to sell horses that were over 10 years old or had been offered for sale unsuccessfully three times, offered for adoption unsuccessfully for three times without limitation. So that means that they can just sell them outright, give you the title right away, which means you can go turn around and take them to slaughter immediately. The whole idea behind adoption is that you don't get title for a year, so it doesn't make financial sense to have to, you know, provide a horse shelter and food for a year and then take it to slaughter, because you're going to be out all that money. So that was the idea behind the adoptions. But outright sale means that they could immediately be taken to slaughter. And they're talking about, in this plan, reducing the age to 5. So
actually, I'm looking at the wording right here, and they want euthanasia of healthy excess wild horses and burros for which an adoption or sale demand does not exist. Well, basically, their adoptions have been so dismal over the years compared to how many horses they've rounded up. And, you know, now that we're really looking at accounting, we're looking at the government bills of lading, commonly called GBLs, which are shipping orders that show where when horses are shipped from one facility to another. We've got the facility reports that the facilities keep. And they've never had anybody so closely look at all this before and compare it. And that's what our white paper was about. You know, we'd see, you know, a ship, a load of horses being shipped, but yet they never didn't show like they had arrived. And even if there is paperwork, I don't know if I'd trust them. One of the really big thing about this report that really, really bothers me, they're talking about doing categorical exclusions and to get around NEPA. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, go ahead
bit?
And explain, Carol? Deb. Go ahead and explain what NEPA is.
Okay, NEPA is the National Environmental Protection Act, I believe that's what it is.
Yep.
And when any time there's going to be an action like rounding up horses, they have to do an environmental assessment to assess if there's going to be, you know, what could be the outcome of this, you know, to the environment. Well, categorical exclusions. They just decide, you know, they bypass really doing an environmental assessment, and they give it a categorical exclusion, and basically it's a way to a loophole to bypass doing a NEPA analysis. And they
right,
want to
and
do
then and normally with the NEPA analysis, they allow public comment for like 30 days. So this way they can do this all secretly. The public doesn't get to know about any of it.
And the six things they want to do under categorical exclusions would be sterilization, euthanasia, unrestricted sale, applications for population growth suppression techniques, sterilization, vaccines, contraception, and the removal of wild horses. So basically, they don't even want to do EAs whenever they remove wild horses anymore.
Right. So meaning they don't want any sort of public comment, any sort of public input, any sort of public knowledge about what they're going to be doing. And they
about
say that this is such a problem for them. Oh my gosh, having to write these environmental assessments.
The problem
is that
they're so secretive. Yeah.
Right.
And you know, the General Accounting Office busted the BLM, I think, some years ago for doing too many categorical exclusions, allowing oil and gas, I think it was. If I remember correctly. By the way, really quickly, since we've only got 20 minutes left, if any of our listeners would like to call in with any questions, just dial 917-388-4520, then press 1. So we've got about 15, 20 minutes. You can call in with a question. Don't wait till the last minute. So,
you know, if any members of the media are listening, we really need you to cover this issue, because every single day there are articles, 1, 2, 3 sometimes, just about Ryan Zinke and all of his scandals. And in none of them did they mention the wild horses and burros. They mention everything else, but they don't mention them. Same thing when they talk about Scott Pruitt or whenever they're talking about the public lands. But we really need the media to come in and cover this, because that's the only way the public is going to really understand what's happening, because if they don't, these animals are going to be gone.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Good point, Susan.
Well,
so anybody who's listening, if you can contact your local media and let them know that this is a story that's important to you and that needs to be covered, that is terrific.
Yeah.
And another thing, it's interesting because when I'm looking at this, in this report, it has factors for success. And this is going to make you gag. So the BLM would obviously consider it successful if Congress would remove the prohibitions to sell without limitation. In other words, they want to sell to slaughter. They want to acquire funding, including through private-public partnerships. Well, you know, we may not know who these partners are. And they want to bypass NEPA, and they want to have enough trained veterinarians to perform the necessary number of permanent sterilization procedures. This is sick. This is, like, sick. We have another call.
Yeah, they want an army of veterinarians going out there in the field and sterilizing horses. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so against what do no harm. You know, with veterinarians. Mm-hmm. I mean, any veterinarian who would be involved with this, I mean, I would be ashamed of that.
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. It's because it's pure graft. You know.
Yes.
It's people on the take.
Mm-hmm.
People
and
who don't care about animal
up.
Welfare, and
yes.
You know, veterinarians should care about animal welfare. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, and they need like an army of people to go do this. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy.
Well. And it's interesting, Leon Peelstick, who was doing a lot of these experimental procedures on the wild horses with the ovarectomies via colpotomy, you know, he had pictures on a presentation that we've gotten up online. But, you know, he was actually collaring, I think it was part of the projects, collaring wild wolves or coyotes up there in Oregon, too. So we have a caller. Marty, someone's online?
Yes.
Okay.
We have a caller on from 775 area code. You're live and on the air.
Oh,
hello.
Yeah, hello, this is Craig Downer. You're doing an excellent job at exposing this outrage. So hypocritical.
Thanks, Craig.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And I just, I'm going and visiting areas that don't get much attention and just returned from another area. It was very hot. This global warming is really exacerbating a lot of things, but I believe the horses and burros can adapt well if allowed to. But what I'm discovering
mm-hmm.
is that even in the areas that are legal herd management area and where they tout that they are preserving these rare Spanish Mustangs. In fact, the springs are being monopolized and very little water, the water is being excluded from the wild horses and many other species too, and they're putting up fences along ridges. And they're really doing a squeeze play on these animals. It's a very sinister thing, and it reminds me of what happened to so many other animals, like the grizzly bear and the buffalo and the wolf and the Native Americans themselves that just wanted to live in their traditional lifestyle. So I certainly agree with you. We must fight this. This is like the soul of America at stake here. We've got to reach the conscience of those senators and representatives and just demand that they don't allow these shameless people to do this evil plan. It is so wrong. I will be doing things, and the last area I just visited, they're really up in arms because it's the same old hypocritical thing coming in saying, oh, you know, they're going to starve and there's a drought, and they're having a meeting right now, actually, on it. I don't know if you heard about
there's been a suit filed,
and I really admire those people. But you know, then there's the people that are saying, oh, no, well, no, the BLM is right. But I was there, and I walked around, and the horses I saw were in good shape. And
to
give them their proper habitat and water, and that's what needs to happen. You know, the BLM has to be their friend and not their enemy.
Yeah.
That's
what I wanted to say.
What area were you talking about?
This was in Cold Creek, Spring Mountain Range.
Tonight. Right.
Yeah.
People can call in tonight to talk about that. So I'm glad you talk about it, Craig. Thank you. Well, Craig's going to be on our radio show next month, too, Craig, so we'll look forward to hearing more from you then, and thanks for calling in.
Okay, thank you. And check out my Oregon report, too, that I did.
Yeah, we will. We'll put that up with our radio promo for you. Okay, thanks, Craig.
Okay. Yeah, thanks
a lot. One thing I wanted to get back to is this adoption incentive program. And I see here, you know, I wasn't sure if it was per animal, and it is. So, and they want an incentive program of $1,000 per animal. So say if somebody's going to adopt, quote, unquote, 50 animals, 50 wild horses or 50 wild burros, they get $50,000 right there. And so then they keep them for a while, maybe then less than a year. Basically, the BLM doesn't follow up on any of their PM. You know, very rare do they follow up on what's happening to horses they do on these PMACA agreements. I've found a lot of them where, you know, I've looked at the documents I've looked at are real squirrely, you know, because especially like down in Del Rio, Texas, it's a very poor area. And I was looking at these applications and I was going, how are these people going to afford to keep a horse, you know? But giving the incentive program give $1,000 to adopt the horse. I mean, this is ridiculous.
It sounds like they just want to give money to the ranchers because that's who's going to take them.
Right.
I mean, they're just paying themselves. It's just the height of corruption.
It is.
Right.
It is.
And then they'll turn around and get more money when they sell them to slaughter. It's just pure greed.
It can't be allowed. I mean, that has to not be allowed. And nothing that I've read so far, it says this is an idea that they may want to do, so let's hope that they don't get to do it. I don't think that's being implemented yet. It's one of their ideas. It's the worst possible idea you could think of.
Well, and so what I'm concerned about, and that I really want to encourage people to talk to their senators and representatives, is that this is being presented to Congress as the only way to deal with these wild horses and burros, the only way, and that there's going to be catastrophic if they don't follow these recommendations in this plan. And So that's why we need to talk to our senators and representatives and say, no, this is not true. These are false claims. These are not true. This does
and
not
these
have
not the
to
only
happen.
Options.
And
yeah,
and if we don't
options.
Do that, then the only side that Congress is going to hear is from the BLM. So
mm-hmm.
that's why
mm-hmm.
it's so important for all of us to call and talk to the people who are going to be deciding this.
And you know, it can be simple. You can call and say, we don't like BLM's new plan. It's not sustainable for the wild horses and burros. We don't want wild horses killed. We don't want them sterilized. And we don't want them sold without limitation so they end up in slaughter. And we don't want them shipped overseas. Those
right.
are four important aspects of this. And that's what you say when you call your congressional representatives. And I see that the BLM in this report in their conclusion it says, in each of the four options addressed above, the BLM will need the help of all stakeholders, Congress, livestock operators, state and local governments. I guess that means those wild and crazy guys in Utah, all those, you know, county commissioners, and public interest organizations. Well, they didn't check with us. And then, get this, to solve the wild horse and burro overpopulation challenge. Again, false claim. Their own records, you know, are not even believable.
Right.
So anyhow,
right.
I just hope people, you know,
I mean, what
read
the public needs to do, the public stakeholders, they need to protest this plan, not join
mm-hmm.
in and say, let's lay down and let the BLM kill our horses. No,
mm-hmm.
no. The public's role here is clear. We need to stop it. We need to say,
mm-hmm.
no, enough. This is not going to happen.
And let's
yeah.
not forget about America's children. If you remember, the Wild Horse Annie Act was passed a lot because of the fact that America's Children did this letter-writing campaign to Congress, and, of course, Wild Horse Annie was at the helm, and Congress said this was a bill passed by the children of this country, and they weren't too happy about it. But, you know, kids should get involved, too, because
yes.
it's something they would care about if they only knew about it, which is why we have a humane education program. I mean, I just hope we're not too late. But I do believe that kids should get involved, and they should be proactive just as much as their parents.
Yes, absolutely.
And you know, maybe we'll call Terry Farley because she's got a lot of, you know, to do with educating kids about wild horses and burros. So I'll call Terry Farley. And another thing, I'm going to go back just so everybody knows, on all the radio show promos, when I put that the shows are archived, I'm going to add the links to both this BLM report so people can read it for themselves and also for our recommendations.
Right.
It's interesting. There was even an attachment on this about the slaughter summit, the preference of the participants. And 99 wanted commercial use of horse protein for pet food, 96 horse protein for zoo animals, 96
percent.
Euthanizing, 96% euthanizing unadoptable wild horses, 92% allowing sale without restrictions. Again, this was an invited group of special interests. This wasn't open to the public. There was no opposing opinions, and for them to stick this on this notes from this secret private meeting that was not open to the public. It's disgusting they did this.
Well, and we also
yeah.
have to remember that we have an election coming up. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, this is something we need to say. Listen, I'm not going to vote for you if you're going to support this plan. So
absolutely.
This is something that we can say. There's an election coming.
And people can donate. You know, if there's been certain people, you know, that we know have been against the horses, send out a small check to their opponent who's running against them because, you know, get them out of office, you know.
Right.
It's very hard to fight special interest groups like the livestock industry and oil and gas and the hunters. You know, they're pretty powerful, but we are the horses and burros' voice. We're the only voice they have, so you have to make those calls to Congress, everybody.
Yes.
It's just really, especially after this report, it's very much needed right now.
Also they seem to want people to misunderstand the meaning of the word euthanasia, which
yes.
literally means is Greek for good death.
and putting an animal out of its misery. Yes.
Yes.
A suffering
so,
animal.
Yeah. There's nothing good about shooting animals in the head or aerial shooting them. That's not euthanasia. That's assassination, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And you know, so if anybody wants to know more about that, go to YouTube and see what they were doing to the Brumbies in Australia when they were doing the aerial shooting. You know, the horses were running. They couldn't, you know, it wasn't a clean kill even. You know, they just wounded them and they were left for days, many of them. So. Hello?
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, Susan, but that's a real issue. You're right, though. And it makes it sound nice when you say euthanasia. You know, instead of
right. killing,
you know, or going to a holding facility and just shooting all of them.
Right.
Know.
Absolutely. And anyway, as horses are not bred for food, you know, most horse meat is contaminated, in some cases toxic, maybe not so much with the wild horses, but still, horses are not food animals. And I think that.
Well, and as you know from the show we did with Dr. Anne Marini, the wild horses, when they're captured and processed, some of the vaccinations they're given are shouldn't be used in animals that are ever used as food. So, you know, if they think they're going to make money, or, you know, if anybody adopts these horses and then plans to sell them to slaughter for human food, you know, it's really bad because it's not the amount that's in their tissues. If it was even used once,
that's
one
right.
time, a one-time vaccination ever in their lives. And we know that when the VLM has to give them vaccinations when they round them up. But we know what they use. So we did a whole radio show on that. So, yeah, that should not be done. Well, we're kind of getting to the last 4 minutes, so I'm going to let each of you do a little wrap-up, and then I'll do my wrap-up. So, Carol, you want to kick off and give
sure.
some final
I mean,
comments?
I think the main point is that wild horses belong on our public lands. They belong in the wild, they belong with their families, and they belong where they were found in 1971. And that's where they belong. And they should not be rounded up, they should not be shot, they should not be sent overseas, they should not be used for food, and they should not be eliminated. So really the key is you need to call your senators and your representatives and say, I want to keep our wild horses wild and free, and don't kill them, and don't sterilize them.
Well, that's absolutely, I agree with that.
And don't sell them overseas. And don't adopt them overseas. Don't ship them overseas. Yeah.
Even adopting them, I mean, half the time people can't deal with them. It's just a bad idea. I mean, if it was up to me, there wouldn't even be adoptions. They would just be left alone. Because if left alone, they would be able to manage themselves. We don't have overpopulations. There's a lot of land out there, and there's no reason why everybody can't coexist out there. It's just that they're an inconvenience, and it's that these big industries and special interests want to do what they want to do without anybody looking. And I believe it was you, Carol, who said to me, these people don't like visitors. So you get rid of the wild horses and the wild burros, and the photographers stop coming, the visitors stop coming, and then all you have are these people doing whatever they want with the public lands. And
right.
we just can't let that happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank Carol and Susan for taking the time to be on the show tonight to talk about this issue. It's very important. I'd also like to thank our producer, Marty Oakley, for her time producing the show. Thanks, Marty. And be sure to listen. There's other radio shows on TS Radio, including Whistleblowers, hosted by Marty Oakley on Thursday nights. We're going to probably have a few weeks off where we don't have a radio show. A lot of times when we don't do shows a lot, it's because we're working on other things. You know, Wild Horse Freedom Federation, we're involved with, I think, about five FOIA lawsuits at the moment. I'm losing count, but, you know, plus just trying to get other FOIA requests answered so we can try and get records to you, so we can try and make stuff public that is not well known. And so we're working hard on that. And so we have a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, but we do have several good shows lined up for next month, you know, including Craig Downer, including a show with Jatara Sahart and Genie Nations. And we have some other people lined up. So I think we have some good shows lined up in the future. to try and let everyone know about public lands and other issues. So most of all, I want to thank our listeners for taking the time to join in. And please, please, please call your congressional representatives. Call your senators. Call your representatives and tell them you do not support this new BLM plan. Good night, everybody, and we'll be back again. Take care.